Jesus has no compassion for the demons. We shouldn't have any compassion for them. You know, we should take our stand and drive them out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just welcome your Holy Spirit. Lord, you're here to love us, to show us, oh God, what Jesus has done for us. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to open up our minds, open up our spirit to receive your word as a revelation, as a word that flows from your throne. Lord, we pray that you will equip us, oh God. Equip us, oh God, to extend your power, extend your hand, extend your love and mercy in a practical way, oh God, as we come to know, Lord, and grasp what you have done for us on the cross. Lord, we ask it, equip us today and release, oh God, your mercy among us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to, thank you, Joshua, share with you what Jesus has achieved. Jesus paid for our healing. Can we say that together? Jesus paid for our healing. Now, this is a complete healing, not just physical healing. It also talks about emotional healing. Our sorrows, he also carried away. You know, our dysfunction, you know, in our inner person, our personality, and all of that, Jesus achieved wholeness and peace and health, goodness, nothing's brokenness, you know, the heavenly state of completeness as God created and intended us to be was all achieved through the cross in Jesus. So I want to turn to a couple of verses, Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Can we read this together? Maybe a couple of times. Can you see that? If you have Bible, you can turn to your own Bible and underline it, or we can read from there. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. One more time, amen. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. And by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. You know, when Jesus came into the earth to you know, being sent from heaven by the Father, Jesus was on a mission, and Jesus' mission was very unique. Jesus had a very unique dimension of ministry, and wherever he go or he went, you can see that Jesus did three things, basically, amongst many other things. He preached the good news, and he cast out demons, and he healed the sick. Now, this threefold cord of Jesus' ministry was very unique because there are others that God sent, prophets God has sent ahead of Jesus in the Old Testament, and they did sometimes, they preached the word. They prophesied the word. Some of them worked signs and wonders and miracles. Not all of them, but some of them did. But very few, and some of them did heal. But healing was not major. And you don't see in the Old Testament any prophets casting out demons. Head on, you know, the unseen world of darkness. And a lot of sicknesses and diseases are interlinked, intertwined with the work of the devil, because devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. Now, there are physical conditions sometimes just needs healing, but many times in the Bible, as well as in real life, that you will see, that many times the healing manifests when demon goes out. So that Jesus began to, as soon as he started his ministry, he began to preach the kingdom of God, he began to cast out demons. That was new. New dimension in Jesus' ministry. And Jesus' ministry of healing is not, you know, over here, over there, little bits and pieces, like Elijah, Elisha. They did a lot of miracles, but healing was a small portion of it. Jesus' healing was major. Wherever he went, the crowd followed because just healing, virtue, went out of him. Sometimes, you know, he couldn't even eat because Jesus was known as healing prophet. Wherever he went, he healed the sick. He delivered people from oppression. And there was a unique facet of Jesus. He didn't only preach. He proclaimed, and wherever he went, healing flowed, and demons screamed, and they jumped out of people. That was unique dimension and a unique feature of threefold expression of love of God through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus' name means, Yeshua means salvation. Jesus came to save us from sin, from our oppression of brokenness, and part of it is broken body, broken mental makeup, all the brokenness, and deliver us from the oppression of demons, those who are without body but persons, but who are the enemies of our soul. They follow you, they mean to destroy you. Jesus not only cast them out, exposed them, and publicly chucked them out, thus demonstrating the superiority of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of Satan. Wherever he went, he did that. And then the phase two of Jesus' ministry is that Jesus called 12 disciples together. Remember that? And they became apostles. And Jesus called them to be with them and charged them to go across all the cities of Israel. And he charged them three things. Again, he said, wherever you go, you preach the kingdom. Tell them the kingdom of God has come upon you. And you, guess what? The other two? Cast out evil spirit and heal the sick. You go all around the town. Jesus picked out 12 to do what Jesus did. He modeled himself and then he taught 12 disciples, give them authority and power to cast out demons and to heal the sick, and thus proclaiming the kingdom of God. That was, I've given you all the stuff there. You can look it up in Matthew 10, verse 1 and 7 and 8. And then after that, Jesus launched one more phase. Small step, but one more phase is that he called 70 disciples together, more. And guess what he did? He did the same thing. Same thing. It's in Luke 10. He said, go. Wherever you go, you preach kingdom of God, and you cast out unclean spirits that are oppressing the people in that region, and you heal the sick. And they come back and say, they were so excited, overjoyed. Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And they were absolutely had a blast of time. They were so surprised because they didn't expect Jesus' name to be so powerful and demons to be so, you know, weak compared to great power of Jesus that he had put upon them. They come rejoicing, and Jesus says, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Don't rejoice because you have power surge through you, even though it's very exciting. It says, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Amen. Why? Because when your name is written in the book of life, you automatically qualify to continue this ministry of Jesus to the world. Amen. And it means that our souls, your eternal life is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. There is a thing called hell. And hell is very hot. Very hot and very painful. Nobody wants to go there. And there is a place called heaven, praise God. And it only takes simple faith. Jesus, forgive my sin and write my name in the Lamb's book of life. And it's done. After that, he releases his power. Now, you are not only saved, now he empowers you. You have a mission. I have a mission to preach this gospel. Amen. With power from on high. And this is what Jesus achieved. Now, just in case that people mistake it, in Isaiah 53, there is a passage in Matthew 8 when at one point, because of power of the Holy Spirit on Jesus, that the power was continually flowing outward, the people saw, even though they can't see with their own eyes, they can see the effect of the spiritual life flowing from Jesus. So they brought all the sick, they ran around the town with a microphone, or you know, they got everybody in, and then they cut them, and Jesus just prayed and healed them. He cast out demons by word and healed the sick, and they and then so that it might be fulfilled, what you just read in the scripture, that Jesus carried our sickness, our diseases, our sorrows, our pain. It's been fulfilled, which means what is Isaiah 53 talks about, that Jesus released us from the pain of sin, pain of demons, and also healed their sicknesses. That's what it meant to be. That's the mission of Jesus. Salvation of God has come to mankind in one human person, body of Jesus Christ. All the powers of heaven was vested in that person. And at one point, Jesus began to unveil his intention by putting his cloak of power over 12 and then 70 and began to send them out. And he says, this is the Father's mission for me. Now, I want to multiply it. And before he finished, Jesus died on the cross. And he has completed his work on the cross. It's not something that Jesus doesn't have to just commission one by one and just, you know, put it on you for a short period of time. He says, what needs to be done? All the brokenness in human being, all the unmitigated destruction that comes into humanity by the sin from demons, hordes of demons. Because of sin, they have a free range. They can just come in and destroy human heart and community. Jesus fulfilled, he's fully completed, he's completed his legal spiritual work done on the cross, so that Jesus didn't just give his life, he was marred beyond human recognition. Jesus took the full blow in his body, all the penalties of sin and sicknesses and diseases, so that when he rose from the dead, all the healing that we need, all the deliverance that we need, all the wholeness, mental wholeness that we need because of the past, because of the pain that is inflicted on us, that we don't have power to become whole within ourselves now, all of that is being sealed and done and cannot be undone. Amen. This is very exciting. When Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus said what? It is finished. It cannot be undone. This is a very unique, you know, tense in Greek is perfect tense. It says it has been completely completed. That cannot be undone once for all. It's done, and it shall be in that perfected, completed state forever. Satan cannot touch it. Nobody can touch it. It's done. Amen. Now, having done that, as Jesus was going up, he now opens the door to the whole believers. He says in Mark 16, what's he saying? To those who believe, these signs shall follow. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. And they will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. To those who have completed theological training and are pastors, they will cast out demons. Those who have fasted for 40 days will begin to... No, those who believe. So are you a believer? So can you see? To a believer, the mantle that was on Jesus was all sealed into the cross, and it's being dispersed to those who will believe in what Jesus has done. Just in case you feel that we are exaggerating this glorious ministry of Jesus, how on earth can we? Just in case, Jesus says, Jesus really dares you. He says, not only those who believe, not only I'm inviting you, not only will you do the works that I've done, and what is it? Preaching, healing, casting out demons, But he says in John 14:12, he says, greater works than these he will do. Greater works. I mean, that's challenging, isn't it? I'm very challenged. I mean, I just want to do some of the works of Jesus. But he's saying greater works than these. What are the greater works than these? Continue to do. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Jesus never failed to heal, never failed to cast out demons. And he says, there is something greater. Greater works than these you will do. Isn't that incredible? And that's the word of God to us. So what has Jesus done is that Jesus has shown the Father's will for humanity. God wants suffering humanity being set free from oppression from the devil, from sickness, from depression, from hopelessness. Have hope, bright hope for eternal life and strength for today and tomorrow. Amen. Joy for today and tomorrow. And bright hope for eternal life. Hallelujah. That's great. Hallelujah. So we are very, very happy people. And God has also charged his ministry to the church who will believe. So this is the challenge. What is the missing link? Link is to believe. Childlike faith. Believe. Believe. Amen. And so that's, I want to be very clear, because we all, and the other day, David Lee was saying, you know, we are all not getting younger. And then he said, you know, sooner or later, we need new body parts anyway. So we got to start exercising our faith now. Let's see some new body parts. There are many, many who have, the Lord had taken to heaven, and they've seen in a big warehouse, whether you believe it or not, I do, big warehouse with a whole lot of body parts there, waiting to be delivered. But who will believe? God wants to deliver new body parts. I'm believing and praying for new body parts for some of our church members. I'm praying and, you know, believing God. I want new body parts. That will glorify Jesus, wouldn't it? And that will show God's affection and love and care. And that's what I believe. Amen. And we can exercise. So when you are suddenly struck with something, let's not just... This is our official stand in GI. We want to see healing and drive out demons. Amen. And preach the gospel. Amen. That's our official stand. When you're sick, we're not saying, if it be thou will, maybe the Lord will, in your exceptional case, perhaps maybe in his great mercy, maybe touch you a little bit and heal you 10%. I don't stand there. I'm saying, when you're sick, let's look to God. That's what the Father has for us, because Jesus paid for it already. Let's get it for you. Let's get it together. Amen. This is very important. We support one another. And through love and prayer and compassion, we'll see the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Amen. Unless you are saying, no, no, I don't want prayer. I really want to go home. Then if you really insist, okay, it's up to you. I'm not going to pray against your will. But other than that, we stand on healing. Can I see your hand? Yes. Amen. If you want healing, we believe healing. We're going to press in. We're going to believe it. Amen. All right. Now, let me share with you two main ways in which healing is released, because it's faith that releases healing. It's faith, childlike faith, that releases healing. One of the ways which we have been very much, most of you heard of, and have seen is that through the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah? Every now and then you see some high-flying, high-powered evangelist with, you know, a lot of bling-blings and go shoom and go, people just fly out and, you know, some of them are healed, they laugh, some of them are not, but, you know, thank God for every healing and all that. And it's the gifts of the Spirit through which God's healing gets released, because God has always, always, always designed that his people will be the fountain of healing. Because all the time, humanity is broken. Outside, people are broken. They are sick, or they are sick in the heart. They are depressed. They are unhappy because they're without Christ. It's just, there is no two way about it. It's always going to be that way. And God has always planned that the source of life, source of joy and wholeness and healing will flow out of his people, God's people. His anointing, his river of life will flow. Revelation 22, you know, there's a river of life that is flowing right through the center of heaven, or center of, I believe, is a new millennial kingdom. But also it's flowing in the presence of God right now. And there are trees of life on both sides. And the fruit of the tree is good. It gives you true knowledge of God. But the leaves are for healing for the nations. So we just gotta gotta take the leaf and apply. It's healing for any sickness, any diseases, any oppression of the devil. Amen. This is where we need to get to, God's people. Yes? And let me just turn to 1 Corinthians 12, how these gifts of the Spirit operate. Very quickly, many of you have heard of it, but I'm just going to quickly lay the foundation. And it still works by faith all the time. Everything of God works through faith. Okay? And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6 to 11, it says, there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as who wills? As God wills. So this is how it works. Maybe one day we'll take some time to break it down and go through these to equip ourselves. But there are three gifts groups here. One is, well, nine gifts. There are nine gifts, and then each of the three of the nine falls into each category. First one is, it falls into revelation gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of the spirits. Okay, so you get that when God tells you something that you cannot naturally know, as word of knowledge, and then word of wisdom. And then vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. And the power gifts are called healings, miracles, and faith. Healing, miracles, and faith. These gifts can work with one another in conjunction with one another. For example, very often the style that you see is that you find somebody has a word of knowledge about somebody in the meeting. And then that word of knowledge is spoken. What happened? People's faith level is raised. If God knows this, my condition, that means that, wow, God is about to act. So then faith level is raised, and then with that, gift of faith or gift of healing, touch that person, and then you see instant results, or very often, you know, instant healings and, you know, miracles take place that way. There are healings and miracles and faith. And I want to just, I guess, draw your attention. I guess, once again, begin to actually pray and hunger. It's all right to hunger after good gifts. Amen? And so, in fact, God likes it when people say, Lord, I actually want really good gifts so that I can serve your people and glorify you. Not to, you know, have a big, you know, brochure about my ministry, but to really release life. It's really good. How many heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Quite a few. Smith Wigglesworth was moving in gift of faith and working of miracles. Now, miracles is simply just power. In Greek, it's gift of power, so that then power manifests, boom, and so on. Or casting out demons also has to do with the gifts of power. But he will have tremendous gift of faith that will operate that, you know, at some point, he will go and see somebody with tumor. And the tumor is in the stomach, and stomach is bloated because of the tumor is so big. And he will have this faith, I hate that thing. And what he did, he punches the tumor out, literally. Boom! Go, ah! This you know, lady, he was ministering somewhere, and there was a, you know, this big lady. She had a big tumor like that. So Smith was moved by this gift of faith. He just knew he would punch this thing out. He punched the thing, and she said, "Oh yeah." She punched him back. She was a big lady. She went home and found out all the tumor is gone. And she repented, "I punched the man of God." This is the gift of faith working. Another occasion, I mean, he was so reckless. I'm not asking you to punch people around unless you really, otherwise you will get punched, knocked down, right? And he will, you know, sometimes they will bring a little child, little baby, 4 or 5 year old, and then he is lame, can't walk, never walked in his life. So they, you know, gave the baby to pray for. So he's standing on the platform. He threw the boy into the audience, and the boy landed on his feet, praising God. Now, if you don't have gift of faith, you go to jail. But this man had a gift of faith. But your passport canceled. Another time, he's well known. Like, he will come to, you know, some place, and he says, you know, this is a gift of faith operating. He was saying, he stand up and say, first three people who are sick, if you respond, first three, it doesn't matter what your conditions are, I guarantee God will heal you. No matter what. First three will just, you know, just rush, and whatever it is, three will get healed. Whatever it is. And they say, Brother Smith Wigglesworth never missed it. Oh my goodness. Because when he was moving in this kind of gift, he never missed it. And I'm, you know, hearing this, I'm going, oh Lord, we need this in the body of Christ. Because this is what God wants to do in the end time. Through using someone like you and me. Not just a, you know, big white shirt. Great evangelist, thank God for great evangelist, you know. But God wants to use nobodies, because Holy is the Holy Spirit that does these things, and then God distributes them, these gifts, as He wills, but also as we also will and begin to avail ourselves in prayer. Now, what is this faith? This is not normal faith. It's like, you know, I believe in Jesus, therefore I got saved. This is not that kind of faith. This is the faith. It's a gift of faith. It is his faith of God. It's God's faith. You know, Jesus talked about how if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can talk to this mountain to be removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, it will obey. When you have the gift of faith, there is no possibility of doubt. It's just, you just know that you know that you know that you can punch the baby. I wish not, but you just know God will just do it. And most of the time, not always, mostly it's released by word. That's how Jesus cast out demons and healed the sick, by word. When you speak, this thing move. And then in Greek, this is, you know, I gave you all the references. When Jesus said, have the faith in God, he says. Remember that Jesus was teaching a lesson. He cursed this fig tree that was without fruit, and the next morning he's coming back, and the disciples saying, "All the fig trees withered. How can it be? Your word has power, Jesus. How did your word, your curse, just shrivel up this fig tree?" And Jesus said, "Have faith in God." But literally in Greek, he says, "Have faith of God." So then God gives you this portion of faith from him and imparts it into you. And this happens as he wills. After you've done it, you've said it, it's taken now, it's gone. So the control, when you have a gift of faith, the control is always in God's hand. You can't, you know, say, before I prayed and the sick was healed, therefore I used the same gift of faith You go around and, you know, you are healed, you are healed, you are healed, you are healed. Doesn't quite work that way. You receive the gift of faith, the seed, a little tiny portion of faith of God for a specific purpose in a specific time. And when you release it, it's done. And then control again is in the hand of God. Just like word of knowledge, God drops into you a word of knowledge, and it is for a specific purpose. When you release it, you can't just fish out all the word of knowledge at will. God freely works as we are yielded to him, so that we are a clean vessel, so that he can move through us very, very freely. So that's how it works. It's a gift of God. Now, when it comes to God kind of faith, size doesn't matter. It's the quality of faith that matters, isn't it? That's why it's a little mustard seed will do. If you have the tiny, tiny seed of God kind of faith, that's enough. There, nothing will be able to stand before you. It'll just happen. Amen. So we can pray for these things. This is a very, very powerful thing. And Jesus said, what did he say? He said, Matthew, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, which means that your availability, waiting on God, is very important, because we sometimes, I mean, especially in today's world, we get distracted so easily. TV and, you know, movie and all kinds of things, and we are not settled so that Holy Spirit can just really come upon us in power to move. So prayer and fasting is actually, it doesn't force God's hand. It avails us for him to use us. So now, turn to Acts 4:29-30. I like this. Acts 4. This is what the early church prayed when they were under pressure. Persecution began to break out because great miracles were taking place and people, whole cities turning to Jesus. And then they were persecuting the apostles and locking them up, flogging them, and people are now afraid to speak because once you begin to speak, these authorities are trying to kill you. And they get together and they pray, and this is their prayer. Now, Lord, verse 29, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they will speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Holy Servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So is it scriptural to pray that God will stretch out his hand and work signs and wonders? Absolutely. This is a New Testament church. New Testament DNA is they were praying, God, stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders in your holy name. Amen. And people became very bold after this. This is a New Testament church. Just one more, small one. There's an expectation of the New Testament church from Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and 5. Paul says, he's asking a question. Galatian church has really become very legalistic. This is the only church that Paul, Apostle Paul, when he was writing, he didn't thank God for, because he was really annoyed with Galatians. Really annoyed. And then he's saying this, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer? Hearing of faith. That's the answer. And then he asks another question. He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, verse 5, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the law? What's the answer? Hearing of faith. Now, what is Apostle Paul assuming here? He's assuming that in the church, there will be working of healing and miracles, working of the Holy Spirit by people hearing faith, and the Holy Spirit will move, and they will have someone or the body of people moving in this ministry of healing and signs and wonders. That's the expectation, that the church, New Testament church, is the storehouse where you see, you find answer of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God comes by hearing. Now, this is very important. Now, with that, I want to move to the next one, is that Next one kind of faith is personal faith. We can grow in this faith. We don't always have to have supernatural gift of the faith. We can grow also in faith. This is a faith in another aspect. It's a personal faith. And Galatians 5, 20 to 23, it talks about, you know, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's say faithfulness. That word in Greek is pistis, which is faith. Actually, its word is faith. But the whole thing is about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the gift. Gift is given by the Spirit in an instant. Fruit is grown. Grown. And he's saying faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit that grows in you. Now, fruit of the Spirit, the faith in this personal character, rooted in character that develops, is probably comes more like faithfulness, trust, trustworthiness, and all these things. But it is, nevertheless, it is faith working in you. It is the faith that God refines us. And all kinds of faith, whether it's a gift of God, gift of faith, or the personal faith that grows in our character, in our walk with God, going through tough times and still learning to trust and keep going, all of these faiths are so, so precious before God that God says, this is more precious than gold, refined than gold. It is so precious that Jesus never rebukes anyone for having too much faith. Yeah? Did Jesus rebuke anybody? You have too much faith. Remember Peter walking on the water. All the disciples are dying, and they are dizzy, and Jesus is walking on the water, and he looks like a ghost. Why? Because there is a tempestuous sea, and when you are standing on top of water, the waves go up and down, and it's like Jesus is there, and he's not there. He's there, he's not there. He disappears, appears, disappears, appears. It's like a ghost. And Jesus said, fear not, for it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, please give me a word. I'll come. Bid me to come. What if it was a ghost? I go, what if he was wrong? If it is you, Lord, say the word and I'll come. And the ghost says, come. No, Jesus said, come, come. So Peter jumps out. He takes a few steps and then he begins to sink. And Jesus rebuked him for saying, why did you doubt? Why did you stop believing? And then Jesus took him up and went back to the boat. I'm sure, what would you do? Disciples would go, rebuke you for being so dumb and stupid, so daring. Why did you even jump out? Most of religious people will say, why did you jump out? You stupid. You just, you know, talk to him and let Jesus come to your boat. That's not wisdom. Jesus never rebuked Peter for trying, daring faith. He rebuked him for stop believing. That's why you're sinking. In our Christian walk, sometimes we do things, right? Sometimes we look foolish. Even if you make a mistake, if it is a mistake of faith, God bless you. You're growing in faith. Amen? You just went and prayed for somebody and that person didn't get healed. God bless you. Just don't stop believing. That's how Jesus gets, you know, you get a rebuke. You believe and you prayed and three person got healed and then you pray for next 10 people, none of get healed and then you stop believing. It's all past, you know. That deserves a rebuke from the Lord. But not those who launch out and pray in good faith that Jesus will do something for you today. Amen. Amen. There is a very, very important relationship between hearing and healing. Hearing and healing. This is a faith comes because this is a faith that you grow. Faith grows. Why? Because faith comes. How does faith come? Romans 10, verse 17, it says, by hearing. Hearing what? Word of Christ. And do you know that word of Christ, word of God, the word, is this written word or spoken word? It's a spoken word. So faith doesn't come by just casually reading scriptures. Faith comes by listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying as you read the scriptures. So this is something that we gotta learn to be accustomed to. As you read, you ask the Holy Spirit, how do you hear somebody? Because you have a relationship. Without the relationship with the Holy Spirit, there is no possibility of receiving faith or growing in faith. So as you read the scriptures, I know we study all the context and everything, sometimes certain words leap out. That's God speaking to you. Now that gives you faith. And faith is the substance for the things that we hope for. It'll happen. And then you speak that word. Amen. I just close with this testimony of Derek Prince, who was really, really sick. Really, really sick in World War II. And he was in a hospital with a skin disease, incurable skin disease that couldn't be cured because they are incurable. And he would say, Lord, I know you will heal me. I mean, you have power to heal me. But every time he said, you have power to heal me, the next moment he said, but I don't have faith to believe you for healing. You have power to heal me. Yeah, I don't have faith. I don't have faith. And then this word came. He came to the scripture and says, oh, if faith comes, we can get it. I can get it by hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying as I read the scriptures, hear the Lord, tune my ears. And then he came across one more scripture, Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to me, saying, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Let's say life, health. Now that health, he even looked up the, the Hebrew word and Greek word, all that. It just means health. It's even used as a medicine. It's the same word. Still today, it's used as in Hebrew word, medicine. So he's saying, okay, the word of God is medicine. So what he did, he took out a blue pen, went through the whole scripture. Whenever he finds promise of God's healing, he will underline blue. He went through the whole scripture for some months, and he ended up getting blue Bible. The Bible became blue, the whole thing. And he was discharged from hospital completely, 100% healed. And he's testifying great power of mercy of God and the power of God's word, power of the Holy Spirit, power of God's healing. All Jesus has done for us, complete package. It's done for us. Amen. That's what we're going to believe. And when you read, when God revealed himself to Israelites as Jehovah Rapha, Rapha is healer. Rafael Nadal, he's a Rapha, he's a healer, right? Well, that's what his name means. He probably doesn't know it, but that's what it means. God, the Rapha, the healer, he says, but he's saying that if you hearken to my voice diligently, it's not just casually, please come and pray for me. You do all the work, I'll just sit there. I want you to pray for me for 10 seconds and I'm expecting me healed, or you're not powerful enough. Don't have this kind of attitude, right? Just a quick fix. Somebody else will do all the work for you. No. God is saying, if you, God's people, will carefully listen to the command of God and obey his word, walk in line with what God says, he says, I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to bring all the blessings. I'll put none of the diseases that I've put on Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, heals you. Amen. This is important. Let's really seek to walk in all the words of God. And when you read, develop this attitude to hear, Lord, what are you saying? It's the same in the New Testament. Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. Yeah. And they follow me. Why are we not hearing? It's because we are so distracted. We got TV going on and you know, trying to sit half a day with the Bible open. God will say something to you. Read a chapter. Sit. Give yourself 3 hours in a prayer room. Challenge you. If you say, I haven't heard God speak for last 2 years or you know 6 months, I challenge you. Take your Bible. There's a Wednesday. There's a Friday. There are Thursday. Take your Bible. Give 2 hours, even a chapter, one chapter, and wait on God. Challenge you. He will say something to you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get the musicians up. Let's pray for... what I'd like to do is soak us in the presence of God and just open up this time as a channel whereby you can connect with God. It doesn't have to be physical healing, but physical healing is also expected. Let's have expectation that God will touch you. Because if you expect nothing, that's what you get. Be it done to you according to your faith. If you expect God to do something, speak to you, touch you, bless you, heal you, give you wisdom, words of life, He will. He will. We got, 20 minutes or so? I'm going to get worship leaders, just worship. And those who need healing, maybe those who are very well, what I'd like to do, if you want somebody to actually sit next to you and gently just pray for you from behind or side, you have that ministry of prayer as well, we want to do that. I know that, you know, God has used quite a number of us, you know, in releasing healing. So, you know, I know there's a lot of testimony Edwin has, Perry has, Mia, and, you know, Shu, and others, you know, here that have experienced the healing in the past. If you'd like somebody to sit next to you and pray with you, can you just raise your hand? Okay, Rhonda, can somebody just sit next to Rhonda and... mental block. Your name? Morgan, yes, right. Morgan, can somebody sit with Morgan? Can you just, if you want somebody to just gently pray with you, pray for you, for whatever healing you need. The rest, okay, you just connect direct to God. Okay, all right. And some of us here, if God has given you word of knowledge about what's going on, you talk to me. You just talk to me, and we will proceed very, very in an orderly manner. But let's start with I am the Lord who heals thee. It could be a broken heart. God can heal you instantly. Jesus can mend the broken heart. God can have a breakthrough, give you breakthrough in your physical body. Let's believe God. Let's just press into the presence of God. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God that healeth. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer. My disease. You are the Lord expect the presence of God here, and we will just create this time where you can focus and receive. Is anyone has a pain on your wrist? Pain on your wrist. Okay. Can somebody just pray for brother there? Yeah. How is your right wrist? Okay. Let's pray for him. Yeah. Why don't you just We're gonna sing a couple of times, and then worship leaders will just take over from here for about 15 minutes. Just receive from the Lord.
I'm seated at the table of the Lord. and I'm carried to the table.
Testimony, would you like to share? Anyone? You want to have a short testimony before Mary has a word?
Hi.
Hey.
I broke my wrist in July last year, and it's been painful ever since. And you prayed for me, and the ladies back there prayed for me, and I can't feel any pain in my wrist anymore. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. That is awesome. Wow, that's awesome. Any other testimony from anyone? Do you want to share something real quick? Just beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, do more. Do more. Amen. Amen.